the reality that we have to deal with every day. We go on adventures. We enjoy them. We appreciate them. We might go on the Grand Canyon. We might be awed by the majesty. We might take a donkey ride down to the bottom. But, you know, most adventures that we take, we want to kind of weigh the risks, right? We want to know what the risk is going to be. They're kind of escapes, but they're controlled escapes. We know what our parameters are for fear and for thrill and for excitement and for possible bodily injury. And then we decide when that's going to be. We decide how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take, when we're going to come home. And we sort of set up our adventures like that. This is the amount of adventure I can handle this time, and this is the amount of adventure that really gets me going, and then we have a different parameter maybe at a different time, and we sort of control them. But there's all sorts of things you can do. You ski in the Rockies, you can scuba in the Caribbean, which is really fun, or go spelunking or parasailing. Great, fun adventures. I remember one of the first adventures I went on as a kid. I was in kindergarten. And my friend's family, I lived in Western North Carolina. It was kind of in the foothills, so there were a lot of places to go hiking. My parents were not into that kind of stuff. They weren't outdoor people. And so my friend's dad was going to take us on this hike. You know, it was going to be a real serious hike. It was in our neighborhood, but there was a big creek, and there were sort of foothill, mountainy places. So we tromp off, and we start heading into the woods, and for me, it felt like we were just gone for half a day. We were probably gone for 45 minutes, but we were walking, and we're going on this trail, and we're looking at the creek and looking at things, and all of a sudden, the father screams, "Bees! Bees!" And he takes off running as fast as he can. Now, I'm just like totally scared. Everybody, like, they're his brothers are there. I mean, my friend's brothers are there, and they all just take off, and I just freeze. I have no idea what to do. I'm standing there, and everyone's running off. No one's stopping to take care of me, by the way. So this is an adventure. And finally, the older brother turns around and says, "John, this way, this way." So I take off. I figure it out because I have no idea which way to go because they didn't run in a straight line. They all just took off. And apparently, we came up on this huge yellow jacket nest that was actually just in the ground right near the trail. And somehow our stomping and stuff agitated them. Now, I got a couple of bee stings, but some of these guys got a lot, right? What an adventure, especially with them getting most of the bee stings. That made it a better adventure in my life. You know, spiritual adventures are a little different, though. When we go on a spiritual adventure, it's more than an escape. It is diving into the depths of who we really are, what we really follow, thinking about what we really want and what we really expect and need in this world and from God. Now, a lot of times, we spend time and energy and effort trying to stop facing those realities because they can be tough for us to face. We don't want to see things about ourselves. We drown out the voice of God and the voice of adventure and the voice of spiritual depth because when we have to deal with them, we have to face things about ourselves that we may not want to face. See, we don't want to shake up the status quo. We don't want to shake up the status quo. I believe that's often true in how we deal in our culture. That's often true in how we think about the ministry of church. And it's often true in how we deal with God in our life and how much we're going to let him in. We want controlled adventures. We want to know the risk and the cost and what we're going to be told to do. And we want to make sure we control it. And we say, "God, this is all I'm going to give you. This is all I want to hear. This is all I want to deal with." But when we enter into a true spiritual adventure with God, we're giving ourselves over to God's truth and God's direction. And we're saying we're going to follow you, Jesus. And that means that our parameters are gone. And that's tough. And it means that our status quo will be shaken. See, the status quo lets us hide things. It lets us get away with things. We figure out how much we can get away with, how much we can hide, and that's how we live, and we live unchallenged. We don't want to get into any messy situations, and we feel like we're in an environment that we can control and we can understand, and that's the status quo we seek for. But Jesus wants us somewhere else. He wants us in an environment we cannot control, that we don't totally understand. And that gives us the chance to have true faith, to really follow Jesus, to really find out and trust that he is greater than anything we could ever face. That's the spiritual adventure. Now, our intro video spoke about following Jesus and talked about the disciples, when they follow Jesus, finding astonishment and awe. That's the spiritual adventure. And sometimes it's something we don't ever expect it to be. It's not always fireworks and amazing worship experiences and great teaching that really challenges us. But sometimes is that we find that he is really greater than the things that we fear. That he's able to forgive us and heal us when we think we've gone well beyond what he could ever forgive and heal. That he's able to use us when we think we could never, ever be used. That's the spiritual adventure of following Jesus. And to start that, that means that we have to face things that we don't want to face. And to take steps we may not want to take. And to shake the status quo. Now, we're beginning our series At the Movies. Most of you know, if you've been here a while, that I love great movies. And one thing about great movies is that they are always looking at the questions and issues that relate to real life and that our culture is asking. Questions and issues that people wonder about, that people hope will be answered. And we look at some of these movies and we think, well, that's a goofy movie. That's not a serious movie. Only dramas deal with that. That's not true at all. Because there are some amazingly bright, self-aware, thoughtful writers who write these movies. And we may not agree with them. They may not agree with the worldview of Christ. They may not agree with the worldview of the Bible. But they are asking real questions because they are human, created in the image of God, with the same needs that you and I have, the same spiritual desires, and they ask the same questions. And what it does is it gives us an understanding of the questions that people need answered and helps us see how Jesus has a response and is relevant and can engage. So today we're going to look at clips from The Hobbit and talk about the key theme of that movie and what God's word has to say about that key theme. Now, I am 100% certain that there are people in here who are not fans of The Hobbit movie. Or the Lord of the Ring trilogy. I don't understand you, but I'm sure there are, I'm just kidding. I know that there are people in here that don't like it. And I remember last year when we were doing movies and we talked about doing Star Trek, and everyone goes, oh, Star Trek, how are you going to get any serious things out of Star Trek? And we showed that beginning clip from Star Trek, and more people cried in that clip, I am not kidding you, than we have had cry in this church in years. I mean, after we showed that clip, I got up and it was like, okay, Star Trek, Captain Kirk. It was great. Anyway, I'm trying to say that there are a lot of serious things out there, even in movies you might not think. Now, The Hobbit is the prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You might remember those movies. They were very huge. And The Hobbit is the prequel to that. What happened before those movies? And I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but overall, when Tolkien wrote the books, the main focus was about good and evil. And The Hobbit is about one person being asked to break out of their comfort zone and to help fight evil, even though it's not at his doorstep yet, to take a stand, not to wait, but to be an agent of good. And Gandalf is a wizard, and he's trying to rally people. He's trying to get them involved. He's trying to develop alliances so that when the evil arises, they will be ready to respond. Now, the problem for the Hobbit is that he doesn't want to have his life shaken at all. He does not want to give up the status quo. He doesn't really care what's out there. He wants to close his eyes and ears to what he needs to see and what he needs to understand. So let's look at this first clip from The Hobbit.
I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
An adventure? Now, I don't imagine anyone west of Bree would have much interest in adventures.
Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Make you late for dinner.
Mm.
Good morning.
To think that I should have lived to be good morning by Belladonna Took's son, as if I were selling buttons at the door.
Beg your pardon?
You've changed, and not entirely for the better, Bilbo Baggins.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
Well, you know my name, although you don't remember I belong to it. I'm Gandalf. And Gandalf means... me.
Gandalf. Not Gandalf, the wandering wizard who made such excellent fireworks. Mm. Old Took used to have them on Midsummer's Eve.
No idea you were still in business.
And where else should I be? Well, I'm pleased to find you remember something about me. Even if it's only my fireworks. Yes. Well, that's decided. It'll be very good for you. And most amusing for me. I shall inform the others.
Inform the who? What? No, no. No, wait. We do not want any adventures here. Thank you. Not today. Not... I suggest you try over the hill or across the water. Good morning.
Now, I love that line, no adventures here, right? Often that's how we think about our relationship with Christ. We want to keep it within the box. If I want to follow God, okay. But I want to keep the risk. I want to keep the adventure. I want to keep the thrill controlled. No adventures here. And we do what Bilbo does. What Bilbo wants to do is enjoy his pipe and run into his hole. And we do that spiritually a lot. We don't understand that the God of the universe can use us in ways we can't imagine we could be used, can change us in ways we couldn't imagine that we could be changed, can work at our hearts and lives and take us on a spiritual adventure and break the status quo. And the important thing to know is that that's life-giving, not life-stealing. See, Jesus has called us to follow and go, and if we do, we will be astonished and amazed. Jesus calls us to follow and go, and if we do, we will be astonished and amazed. And we like to be astonished and amazed by beautiful scenery that doesn't impact our heart and our minds and our lives. We love to be impacted and astonished and amazed by certain experiences that might get our adrenaline up, but the idea of being astonished and amazed that God can come in and begin to deal with the sin and the hurt and the pain and the reality of our sinful nature and of living in a fallen world. Now that's scary. That's not adrenaline scary. That goes beyond adrenaline and thrill to the depth of who you were created to be. And that's the kind of adventure Jesus wants us to go on. And when we do that, He says, follow me, follow this road. And we have the opportunity to be astonished and amazed. And what we tend to do is choose to run into a rabbit hole because we would rather choose the status quo than choose to be astonished and amazed by the power of God in our lives. And this is often the problem with our world and with the way that we respond in our world is that we continually choose neutral spiritual death over the adventure of God. Now, there's no doubt in the adventure of God, you are going to see things about yourself you don't want to see. You are going to learn things you don't want to learn. You're going to have to let go of things you don't want to let go of. But that's what he calls us to do, so that we could be astonished and amazed by God's reality in our lives. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Do you see the description of adventure there? Paul is saying, in my life, I have decided to follow the adventure, and I'm going to put the things, the status quo, the comfort, the things I lived for before behind me, and I'm going to press on toward what God is calling me to. And in his life, he continued to walk in the situations and circumstances and struggles and problems and questions and issues that he would never have guessed he would see. But he walked on. And he entered into the adventure. And God used him and worked in him. Now, Bilbo doesn't like the idea of being called to an adventure. He sees it as irresponsible because he feels responsible to the status quo. And in his mind, he began to say, mature and responsible people don't do that. They don't enter into that adventure. And we will hear that in our culture about following Jesus. Mature, responsible, level-headed people don't take following Jesus that seriously. A little bit of it's okay. But really, giving your life, going on a spiritual adventure, that's not okay. That's irresponsible to the spiritual status quo that we all live in. It's not unlike us, the way Bilbo is acting. We like adventures that are escapes from reality, but spiritual adventures that take us head on into a reality that we don't want to face, that's too scary. We find things when we do that, we find things that we can't fix. So we have to pray and rely on God. We find things that we don't understand. And from that point on, we can't pretend to know everything. We can't pretend to have an answer for everything. And we have to seek God's wisdom and actually say the words, I don't know, or I don't understand, or that's beyond me. And we have to let go of things in our heart and lives that we cling to like a security blanket. And we have to find our security as children of God. Now that's the adventure that we're being called on. See, we don't want things to get uncomfortable, but following Jesus is always uncomfortable. We don't want things to get uncomfortable, but following Jesus is always uncomfortable. Now I want to talk about that term because Jesus absolutely intends for us to experience peace. He wants us to experience peace and rest. And we can know peace in Christ when our heart is owned by things that aren't temporary. That's how we can know peace in Christ. When our things aren't owned by the things that are temporary and fleeting and powerless and irrelevant. But we don't want to confuse comfort with peace, because comfort can be soulless and dead and apathetic. What we want is the peace and rest that comes from being children of God and from following Jesus. It comes from a full life. It's a life given over to what is important and what is good. And then when we know that we've given our life and heart over to what is important and what is good, when we fall in bed at night, we can have rest. And that doesn't mean that we've been perfect or that we've been morally perfect or that we've been perfectly pious, but that we have followed Jesus. And when we have failed, we have repented. When we realize that there's a sin that needs to be, that's in our heart, we have asked Christ to help us and we have allowed him to be a part of our life. And as we go deeper, we realize that there are things that we are still withholding from him, but we are following Christ. And in doing that, we can know eternally that we're doing the right thing. We're following the right path. We're following the right truth. And we can have peace and rest. That's not always comfortable, but it's deeper than just comfort. Now, a true spiritual adventure will not only take us out of our comfort zone and out of the status quo, but it will make us different and better. And often people will get defensive when they hear that and say, "What do you mean different and better? I'm fine the way I am. What's the problem with what I'm doing?" Most of us spend a lot of our lives saying that in our minds and our hearts and in our responses to people. We may not say those words, but that's really what we want to put forth as the center of who we are and the center value of our life. What's wrong with what I'm saying? What's wrong with what I'm doing? How could that be the wrong thing? I have a reason and a purpose for the things that I've done. But the point that we're making here isn't that Jesus is calling you to be better or more on your own and on your own strength, right? Following Jesus is not about more being expected of you, but about inviting God to do more in you. Following Jesus is not about more being expected of you, but about inviting God to do more in you. So when we talk about change, We're not saying you go out and change everything with your willpower and your thoughts and your own personal energy. We're saying go on the adventure of following Jesus and be astonished and amazed at how he can change you. Your perception of the world, your perception of yourself, your understanding of truth, your understanding of God at work in the world, your understanding of your own need of grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." In other words, as we receive the grace of God, we don't receive that grace because of how good we are and how much we've changed ourselves. Grace is a free gift. But then as God begins to work in our heart and our life through that grace, and we humble ourselves before him, we are recreated by God and made new. And that's part of the spiritual adventure. Believe it or not, Gandalf talks about change with Bilbo and finding that in his life. So let's look at that clip.
I'll be all right. Just let me sit quietly for a moment.
You've been sitting quietly for far too long. Tell me, when did doilies and your mother's dishes become so important to you? I remember a young hobbit who was always running off in search of elves in the woods.
Would stay out late, come home after dark, trailing mud and twigs, fireflies.
A young hobbit who would have liked nothing better than to find out what was beyond the borders of the Shire. The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins of Bagend.
You are also a Took. Did you know that your great-great-great-great-uncle, Bulrora Took, was so large he could ride a real horse? Yes, well, he could. In the Battle of Green Fields, he charged the goblin ranks. He swung his club so hard, it knocked the goblin king's head clean off, and it sailed 100 yards through the air and went down a rabbit hole. And thus the battle was won. And the game of golf invented at the same time.
I believe you made that up.
Well, all good stories deserve embellishment.
You'll have a tale or two to tell of your own when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
How would you like to hear that if you went on a vacation adventure? Hey, I'm going scuba diving. Can you promise I'll come back? No. But if you do, you'll be changed. When we follow Jesus, when we take this adventure, things are going to change in us. There will be change if we decide to listen to him and to trust him and obey him. And to allow him to be part of our lives every day, there will be a change in the status quo of who we are. Compassion over judgment. Forgiveness over bitterness. Kindness over arrogant demand. Humility over foolish pride. Making a difference that is eternal instead of trying to make everything that happens in the world service us and our expectations and our needs. And that's where most of us live as well. Most of our lives are spent thinking that everything that happens in the world should service us and what we want and what we expect. But Jesus wants to change us. Jesus came so that we would become people who are new and alive. So that we would become people who are new and alive. And continually following the ways of the world, the spiritual apathy, the way that people just want a spiritual status quo and a value status quo and a status quo about whether God is real, it will make us small and petty. Arguing the same things over and over again. Seeing everything as good or bad based on whether it fits what we want in the moment. And our value becomes this is good or bad based on what I expect and want and demand right now. But Jesus wants to make us new and alive. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the guy who wrote this was one of the most brilliant people of his age. He had been accepted into the power structure of his culture. He was known. He had been trained by one of the greatest teachers of his time. When he met rulers in the Roman Empire, they talked about how brilliant he was. He could have lived a great status quo life, been accepted. He was a Roman citizen, so he was protected under Roman laws, so he didn't have to worry about oppression. He had a life of status quo that would have been comfortable and perfect and respected anywhere he went. But when he met Jesus, his life changed, and he realized all of that that the world gave him was not giving him life. So he's able to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we follow Jesus, we're beginning an adventure of change. Allowing things to be stripped away that need to be stripped away. Allowing things to be destroyed that need to be destroyed. Leaving behind the things that we need to leave behind. And I'll say this, because I hear it a lot. It's the most manly thing if you're a man that you can do. I'm not saying that because I want to be sexist here. I only want to focus on one thing, but I've talked to so many men who think that following Jesus is something that weak men do and only the other gender does. It takes courage to say, I want to be the man I was created to be, not the shallow man that our culture elevates. I want to be strong for my family. I want to be strong for walking with God. I want to be strong in truth and wisdom. And I tell you, I am at ball fields all the time, and I see the biggest, strongest, most athletic guys, some of them who played Division I sports, walk around kicking fences, yelling at kids, brutalizing them, and everyone looks at them and thinks, they're tough, they're men, they're teaching their sons to be men. And I'm always thinking, it's not manly to humiliate and overwhelm a 12 or 13-year-old for your own purposes. We follow the wrong values in our culture. Now, I'm not saying that so we'll walk out of this room and go, the culture stinks. As you know, I love to listen to what the culture says. Not because the culture stinks or is right, but because there's a response from Christ that is respectful and wise and loving and has a hopeful and real answer to the questions that are raised. But we have to realize, if we follow Christ, the status quo is going to be broken. You know, I have no trouble with my kids saying, hey, get tough. You know, I know you made a mistake, but you can't just give up. You've got a teammate. I don't have a problem doing that. But I do have a problem with someone putting down a kid and tearing them down. We need to be changed. We need to take the adventure of following Jesus. Now, that illustration might not apply to you, but there's things in our lives that we cling to and we follow that need to be changed. You know, one of my favorite stories of adventure recently, and I'm going to talk about this probably a lot over the next year, so I'm going to keep talking about it, is our friend Lynn Stevens, who has decided to take the adventure of going into dark places of our world and the sex industry and the people who are caught up into that, and show love and mercy and grace in a place that we think is so dark and so out of the way and so untouchable by the truth of Christ. I believe that some of us would honestly think, we might not say it out loud, that even though the Bible tells us that the light of God is so great that the darkness cannot understand it, that there are places in the world where the light could not penetrate, we should not go, and we should never take the adventure to enter into it. And Lynn has decided, no, we are going to take the light of God into that darkness. And we are going to walk right into it. And we are going to live that adventure and be astonished and amazed at what God can do in the lives of people who need the love and truth of Christ. And I'll tell you, I'm friends with Lynn on Facebook, and I get to read some of her stuff back and forth with some of her friends who are doing that and see the stories and the encouragement and the love. And it's the adventure of Jesus at work in the world. And you may not be called to do that, but don't run away from the adventure that God has for your heart and your life. Don't settle for the spiritual status quo. Let the life of God be real in you. Let the life of God be real in you. I just want to leave you with an encouragement and a challenge. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you can start one. God wants to know you and wants to be involved with you and wants you to experience his love and his grace and his mercy. He's calling you to put aside the things that you're clinging to that are not giving you life and to accept the life that he has for you. If you don't have a relationship with God, I'm going to pray in a few minutes. And I would just encourage you during that time to say to Christ, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your death on the cross as payment for my sins. And I commit myself to follow you and live in your grace and to be astonished and amazed by what you have for me. Jesus didn't just die, he rose from the dead, and that means that he is still with us and that we can experience his life. It could be that you made that commitment and you need to recommit your life to Christ, that you've walked away from it, that you haven't taken it seriously. If that's true for you, I would encourage you to recommit your life to him this morning. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Take the spiritual adventure now, because if when you walk out of here and God is speaking to you and you don't do what you need to do this morning, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back into your little hobbit hole and just find comfort and ignore the adventure that God wants you to go on. Or it could be that God is just teaching you something new and real and fresh and you've been astonished and amazed. And again, you need to acknowledge that, to be prayed for, to speak it, to share it. So on the back of this card, this greeter card, there's a place for you to either, you can put your name on it or not. We'd love to know and we'd love to pray for you. But if God is calling you to make an initial commitment to him and begin a relationship with him, there's a place for that. And there's a description of what that means on the back. If God's calling you to recommit your life to him, or if God is just calling you to acknowledge that he's been at work in your life, do that this morning and I'm going to pray for us. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship you and celebrate baptism. Lord, if there's anyone here right now who needs to enter into an alive and real relationship with you, I pray that they would do that right in this moment. They would acknowledge their need before you and the great power of your death on the cross to forgive their sins, to realize that you are waiting with open arms, that would happen right now. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone in here who needs to recommit their life or acknowledge something new and amazing that you're doing in their life, that they would do that right this moment. So, Father, we thank you for your work in the world. We thank you that there's no question or issue or struggle or darkness that we can enter into that you can't touch. We thank you that you are calling us to an adventure wherever we are and that we would go on that adventure. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.